It's a joy to be here. It really is an honor. I've been preaching, teaching on this subject of the follower. We started off with Joseph. And I think we all have to admit, Joseph lets us know how much we have to grow, don't we? Because anybody who could take the back seat, I mean, to his wife and to God, incarnate Jesus, his own son, he might be worth looking at in terms of my own followership and accepting that sometimes things don't go the way I want them to go. But I still want to learn how to be a good follower. Then we talked about, who are we talking about? Yeah, that's right, Andrew. You remember Andrew, right? Simon Peter's brother. And Simon Peter taught us discipleship. That if I'm going to follow Jesus, that I can't, there's no option about being a disciple. That I have to go and find, I like that, right? I have to go and find my brother and sisters. I can't sit and wait for them to come to me. I have to go look for them. And then I got to tell them about this gift that's 100 times greater than $1 million. Can I get a witness? I got to find them and I got to tell them. And then I have to bring them to Jesus. For us, I got to bring them to a deeper relationship with God's word. Well, I want to close out on that series, on this series today, with talking about the challenges of being a follower. You know, because if you just talk about the rah-rah, he's the first city. I'm second. I know my place. I know I'm supposed to be making disciples. What are the challenges? Have you ever been there before where you had a good goal in mind, but you also had challenges? Like, can I let y'all in on a secret? I've been watching Deacon Art as each week he looked like he's getting skinnier and skinnier. Yeah. And when I knew him, at first he was my size. And so I keep looking at him and saying, I tease him all the time. I say, boy, I tell you what, you put on a half a pound this week, didn't you? He knows he didn't. If anything, he may be losing. But I don't know about for you. And Sister Roshan has tried to help me. She says, you got to get off the cake-eating people. And you got to start with the gluten-free folks. Get you some raisins and some grapes and stuff like that. You got to do it if you want to lose weight. But it's a challenge. Anybody else have a challenge in that area? About two of you. A challenge. I say that to say that it's never quite as easy as we like to think it is to follow it through a plan. Follow Jesus. So I want to talk this morning to you about this subject of challenges, and the challenges with following Jesus, just so we get the full picture. And since the disciples had the first responsibility of doing that as a group, I want to focus on these 12 individuals in the book of Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 18th through 27th verses. Part of these verses cover actually a text that we went over not too many weeks ago. So there's some overlap here. I think most of you know that Matthew was a tax collector. And, you know, you can't tell those tax collectors nothing, can you? You ever, anybody here ever been audited before? I've been audited. And you sit in there and you think, I got them this time. Oh, they're not going to get my money out of me. And they always sit there. This is what they do while they let you talk for about 45 minutes. And then at the end, tell me if I'm wrong. You still owe the government. Can I get away with this? I mean, those folks, you just have, I submit. Matthew was a tax collector. He wrote this, and I believe that he wrote it. And he's also, of course, a first eyewitness of Jesus. He's said to be the writer of the gospel. Though many dispute that, but I don't dispute that. I take what the word of God says here. And he places, we know he is a disciple because the very next chapter, it says so, how Matthew comes to it, chapter 9. But in this chapter, it's actually a chapter about healing. And in the middle of the chapter, is where he breaks off into this subject matter. So our background verses 18 and 19 say this. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, they were there for what? Healing. They were there for medicinal purposes. They were there for their brokenness. Jesus gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. That's a pretty nice statement, isn't it? And especially, I can identify with this guy. I don't know his name. It doesn't say what his name is or who he is. It just says teacher. And I'm a teacher. And so I identify with him. And I'm going to hang out with Jesus. This is not one of the 12 right here. This is not Matthew. This is a teacher of the law. So he's another type of disciple. Do you understand? We know that there was several other disciple types. There were even 72 that he sent out on one occasion. But he's the first one that stood up and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. How many of you like good teaching? You know, I mean, if I find somebody who can teach me, I'll get up early in the morning and I'll turn you on. That's right. I'll go to TV and I'll watch you for an hour so that you can teach me something. I love good education. And so he's letting him know, hey, you the man. You are the number one. You're first fiddle. And I will follow you. But Jesus is going to let him know, as well as he's going to let others know, as well as he's going to let you know this morning, don't talk so fast. I want you to find out what you're getting into. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about sticking with me. Can I get it with you? We're talking about going through the good stuff, but we're also talking about the bad stuff. We're talking about the good times, but we're also talking about when you hang with me, bad times, suffering. Then I want you to say, I will follow you wherever, wherever. God, I'll go with you as long as I don't have to go to those kind of people. You know those kind of people, right? Can I get it with you? I'll go with you as long as I don't have to go to that part of town. I'll never forget in my former church that Cheryl and I served. Is that Jesus called? In my former church, there was an individual. We were going to do a mission trip. We were in Vacaville, and we're going to do a mission trip to Vallejo. And you remember that, Sharon? And the father, and we were working with the youth at that time. And the father said, "No, no, my son's not going to Vallejo. No." I really didn't know that much about Vallejo or any other of the surrounding towns, not that much. But there are some places that are seen as no man land. You know, and I know some of you are from Vallejo, but that's how they responded. I can't go there. And I thought to myself, we should go there. We should go there because Jesus would go there. Anyway, four principles here on the challenges. The first challenge is following Jesus will challenge my comfort. It'll challenge my comfort. It'll challenge my comfort. I'll give you a chance. You know, all of these start off by saying following Jesus will challenge. So you don't have to write that four different times for those of you who like to write notes. Just put down the verb here, the primary word, comfort. Yeah, it'll challenge my comfort. It will challenge my comfort every day. How many of you like comfort? Amen. Okay, one of you. Okay, the rest of you are lying. Yeah. The teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have the Marriott." Or the Hilton. "But the Son of Man has no place." I don't have any points at any of those places. You know, you guys talk about you don't like to go to, what is it, Motel 8? I don't even have points in Motel 8. And you talk about you want to follow me? You need to know what you're getting into. Because if you follow me, it's not going to be comforting all the time. It's not going to be smooth and easy. And you certainly are not going to be faced with easy folk all the time. And this is especially when you start out. You know, it's always hard when you start out with me. Because like anything else, you don't know what I'm going to do or what I'm going to do because I'm God. Anybody here, when you first got ready to get married, you had that look in your face? And then about a month later, and really what happened is you ran into some obstacles. Am I wrong or right? And then you woke up and you said to yourself, "We're going to make it. We're at least going to make it for the next 3 months. Because you're an obstacle and I'm an obstacle." And you found out that really if you're going to make it for 53 years, that you have to accept the challenges are a part of the deal. Am I right about it? I got to accept it's not going to change. It'll get a little easier because I'll know what to expect. And so when I know where the mines are, the earth mines, I try to not step in those. You know what I'm saying? I know it'll tick her off. She knows it'll tick me off. And so we try to step around them. We got a little dance going, you know, to keep from anybody blowing up. Anybody ever had that happen before? I'm following you, and you're boom! Oh my gosh, I didn't know that this was a part of the deal. Yeah, there are landmines out here. And let me tell you, it's in the Bible. Jesus says, lo, there are landmines out here. There's going to be some suffering, some hard times. You have your first kid and you find out discomfort because all they want is something from you. They give you nothing other than that. Discomforting. Am I wrong or right? And then they grow up and they give you what? More discomfort. And some people, will they ever grow out of this? You know, will they ever grow out of needing something? You know, you keep a house just so they have a place to come back to. When are they gonna learn? You know, I appreciate you better when you out there doing your thing and everything is good. But discomfort. Am I wrong or right? I mean, I'm just talking Bible here right now. But I love comfort. I love my peace. I like it nice. I'll pay for peace. I'll pay for you to go and stay at the Marriott. I'll give you my points. My free night that I pay for every year. You know, they say you get a free night, but really you pay for it. You know the one I'm talking about through the credit card. Here's a free night. Ain't no such thing as a free night. You pray for that annually. It's called the annual membership. I love comfort. I like coming in the air conditioning. Deacon Art sent out a thing on yesterday or the day before, said, the air conditioner is not working. I'm like, almost choked. Are you crazy? And then he says in the next paragraph, but the guy's coming. I said, whew. Because in my mind, I'm saying I'm going to be in a hot building. But then that next paragraph, but the man's coming. And I know Deacon Art's going to at least get him to have that thing on for an hour. Can I get a witness? Because we're depending on you, Deacon Art, to keep our comfort. Amen. We love comfort. We do it. I love comfort. But that's one of the challenges of following Jesus, is that it's not going to always be comforting. And I have to accept that. Is anybody here that has got a real problem with that? Yeah. I mean, if we have some honesty about it, I don't even like to go camping, I'll be honest with you. I like air conditioning. I like a California king because I'm tall. You know? And you out there on the dirt, on the ground, I don't know how to, you know, we spent 8.5 years in Syracuse, New York, where the snow, it didn't just come up to you. It came up to above the door thing. You have to shovel like this to get out. And people come and they tell me, you want to go to the snow? I said, no. I just don't have any comforting thoughts about snow. Go to the snow? Why would you want to do that? The birds have a nest. The foxes have holes. They've got a den. But Jesus says, I don't have anywhere. And I can't promise you, if you follow me, you're going to have somewhere. A lot of homeless people that follow me. And they don't follow me because I promised them a home. You know, I think that as Americans, we are some of the most spoiled, comfort people in the world. Because when I look in 2025 at where some people are living, in which some people don't have to eat, in which some people got to eat out of, I know some people, they wouldn't even go to your house if you didn't have a plate, fork, napkins, everything laid out. And here these folks would be glad to have a tin pan. You got to hold on to the pork and bean can, you know, for your water next time. Make you want to pray, doesn't it? Because if I pray, you put yourself into this man's spot. If I say I want to follow you, and Jesus says, hey, look, it's going to be some tough times, and I'm going to lay it out for you right now. Do you still want to follow me? I mean, I'm not asking you to answer that question. I'm just simply saying the challenge is one. The challenge is, Bobby. It's challenges. I think I want to go. I think I do. Number two. Following Jesus will challenge my priorities. Again, just write down priorities. First one is comfort. Love comfort. I haven't loved padded pews, padded chairs. When we go into the Bible study, I grabbed a padded chair. Challenge my priorities. Priorities, what's first in your life? What's the highest value for you? Another disciple, not the teacher, but a disciple. Another disciple, the teacher was a disciple too, a follower, but another disciple, we don't know who this is, said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? I mean, it probably doesn't sound much harsher than that, because we're talking about mom and daddy. And we even have a commandment, don't we? Honor your mother and father. So you would think that Jesus would say, okay, there is just one time when you don't have to follow me. And it's pertaining to your parents. If they're dead, then you need to go take care of that. That's your business right there. First of all, we need to understand this in context. He is not saying that his father is dead. This was a common saying. Have you ever heard people say this? How's your mom and daddy? Oh, let me tell you, my daddy got one foot in the grave. Now, you don't mean they're dead. What do you mean? You mean they're sick? Are they feebly? Can I get a witness? That's a common thing. He got one foot in the grave. Mama's getting along, but she's got one foot in the grave. That's what he's basically saying here. Daddy's not well. Daddy's not doing good at all. He got one foot in the grave. And Jesus says to him, well, look, let somebody else tend to him right now, because right now I need you. You see, you're new to all this. This is the beginning of the trip. And I can't have you in and out. You know, it's sort of like a marriage. When you first get married, you have to understand what the pecking order is, right? In other words, God, then family, and other family members. And if you don't ever get straight that your mom and daddy, and for those of you who are the mamas and daddies and patriarchs and matriarchs in here, you don't want your kids still running to you when they first get married. They have to understand that their first obligation is where? to this new, I got a new unit here now. That's a new responsibility now. As a matter of fact, if I convey to them that you are second to my mama or second to my daddy, you could lose the relationship. Am I wrong or right? I would imagine that there are a number of people who have lost the relationship because they didn't understand the pecking order. Jesus says, I'm in the pecking order too. And I will not be at any time second fiddle to anybody. I know it sounds harsh. I know it sounds difficult. And that's going to be a challenge to you. But that's the way the rules are played, and I make up the rules. Because I'm God. You know what it really means? What it really means is that if you're willing to follow me, thank you, Jesus. If you're willing to come after me, then you've got to trust that I'll not only take care of you, I'll take care of your mama, I'll take care of your daddy, I'll take care of your children, I'll take care of everything about you. If you put me first, how many marriages? When I look at all of the people who've ever come to me for counseling, and the biggest problem was this. They didn't understand the pecking order. We've been talking about submission today in the Bible study, and let me encourage you to come out to the Bible study. It's hot in there. Oh, I'm telling you, it's hot in there. But the pecking order doesn't begin with the husband or the wife. Y'all don't hear me. The pecking order begins with Jesus. And if you could just get that straight. As a matter of fact, he's got a whole chapter on it. Not a whole chapter, but a good part of the chapter on it in the following chapter, in chapter 7, where it says, seek ye the kingdom of God first and all of the right things about it, righteousness, and I'll add everything that you need. That's a promise. I'm a living witness that if you prioritize, I can't make you God 53 years of marriage, but I can't make you God 53 years of marriage. You can't make me God, but God promises if you put me in my rightful place, and nobody can sit in my place but me. I promise you I'll take care of all of the other things. Look at that word. Seek ye the kingdom. Kingdom is two words. King and domain. Seek the right king over the right domain. You see, the domain of this king is on in heaven. But he's trying to bring it to earth. Y'all hear me? We pray that prayer, don't we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy what? Thy kingdom come down here on this piece of earth. Help us to do as you do in heaven on this piece of earth. If I could just get that straight, everything else will fall into place. And I've seen enough of your hands go up to say to me that you believe the same. But it is a challenge because everything wants to be first. Your spouse, your children, people you work for, your friends, it's quite a challenge to say, you can't be first. I love you, but you can't be first. I have a responsibility, and I want to be on this job, and you are my employer, but you can't be my God. Not for anything. Not even for money. I promise to give you a full day's work, but I can't be your slave because I already have a master. I already have a king. I already have a Lord, and I'm faithful. It's nothing like being faithful. Can I get a witness? How many of you married to somebody faithful? Not one of you. Thank you. Some of you a little slow with that hand. Well, he used to be faithful. No. There's something about faithful that is beautiful, isn't it? I'm married to a faithful one. I know some people right now, I'm serious, that if they got a phone call, you know, like the phone went off. I don't know whose phone that was, so I'm not pointing anybody. But if a phone went off and they with you, the first thing they would say is this. Who calling you? Who are you talking to? Who's on that phone trying to get you? Because they don't have trust. Can I get away from you? When you're in the right relationship with somebody, you don't raise those questions. Do I ever raise those questions with you? Not because I don't care. And it's not because we can't do something wrong. I know you probably, well, they too old to do anything. That's the problem with them. We ain't that old. But when the pecking order is clear, you have a trust. You brought us this far. You did with me what I couldn't do for myself. Y'all want me to sit down? Being a follower of Jesus, the challenge is not only going to be in terms of your comfort, but it's going to be in terms of your priorities. Some people have a bigger problem with this than others. And the reason is they don't know how to draw boundaries. You know? And I don't have to go into the particular ones, but I'm just simply saying that if you can't draw boundaries, you'll never have your priorities straight because you'll make everything a priority. And you can't please everybody because really priority is about pleasing somebody. And I'm pleasing God, which means that when you're my priority, I've got to give you time and I've got to give you sacrifice. Time and sacrifice. I'm a member of church, but I don't never see you. Obviously, there's an issue with your priority. I'm not saying you can't love Jesus, but you really need to think about it. If you talk about you want to be a member, then you're going to be a contributing member. And not just with your money, but with your life. Can I get a witness? Who am I preaching to? I feel like I'm preaching to somebody. I hope they hear. Number three, got to keep this thing moving, right? Somebody say, help me up and get off that last point. Following Jesus will challenge my faith. Following Jesus will challenge my priorities, challenge my comfort. I didn't know there were so many obstacles. Challenge my faith. Then he got into the boat. And his disciples did what? They followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. You know, that is the problem with Jesus. No, because whenever I need him most, he seemed like he's quiet. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't want him to be asleep. Not when I'm in a problem. Now when I'm having a hard time. Now when the bills need to be played. Don't be over there playing Jesus like you sleep. You ever have your kids do that with you? They want, did you take that garbage out? Jesus don't be sleeping over there. Not when there's all of this need over here. Suddenly, a furious storm, a terrible storm, a terrible challenge came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. You ever had water in your boat? You ever felt like you was about to drown in your stuff? I'm looking at these bills over here and we're drowning. Jesus, I need to show you my bills. Because obviously you asleep. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went, and of course they do what bad followers do, right? We try to wake him up. With all the work now, Jesus working 24/7. If he's sleeping, then you need to do what? Let the brother sleep. No, I'm serious. With all the work. You know, we even sing songs about it. Never stop working. He never stopped working. And we just be up there like this. He never stopped working. You know what somebody ought to say? Let the man sleep. Am I wrong or right? I just love Pastor Gainey because he always be working. He don't ever take his wife to Disney World because he be working for the church. Oh, Lord. You ought to be glad to see Jesus get a rest. Because if it was just you, he'd be tired. You know, we've just seen about my stuff would wear him out. Can I get a witness? Is your stuff like my stuff? How many of you need him every day? I mean, how many of you need him almost every hour of every day? Lord, have mercy. I'm saying this is all the writers is killing me, Lord. He's sleeping. Arthritis killing me, but he's sleeping. These bills is about to kill me, but he's sleeping. Then the disciples went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. That is probably, to me, one of the worst statements in the Bible. Why is that? Because it's two conflicting statements. On the one hand, Lord, I'm waking you up because I believe that if anybody can get us out of this situation, Lord, I'm not asking another one of the disciples, but I'm asking you because you have the power. You have the authority. You have the ability to make these waves stop. That's why I'm waking you up. Now, the other side of the statement, they're saying, Lord, we's going to drown. We're about to die in here. We're going to die. You see, you can't go and die and believe Jesus going to help at the same time. That's what you call lukewarmness. You got to either be hot or be cold. You know, I don't know what the situation is. I don't know how bad things are for you. But either you believe that Jesus can, or you believe that he can't. I don't know about you, but I'm standing with those who believe. Can I get a witness? I'm standing with those who believe. Or you ought to be standing right now. I'm standing with those who believe that Jesus can. That's why I like the songs that say stand up for Jesus. Because I believe that he can. I don't like those old songs. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Don't sing that for me. I try to get around the folks who believe that if nobody can do it, Jesus can still do it. Make a door where there are no doors. Make windows where there are no windows. Oh, I'm telling you the old folk theology. Make a way out of no way. That's the kind of folk I want to be around when the waves are rocking and reeling around Gainey. I want to be around the folks
who believe that God can still work it out. You see, that's what faith is. And following Jesus will challenge your faith.
Can I get a witness?
Here's where many of us mess up in our theology. We think that faith is something you do. Faith is not a verb. Faith is a noun. A noun, if I last remember by Webster, is a person, place, or thing. Which means that God, who is a person in the form of Jesus Christ, is my faith. And even if I've got a little bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, the smallest seed in all of the world, Jesus says, that's enough for me to work in your life. That challenges folks, because sometimes folks say, you got big faith, you got little faith. Let me tell you what, because folks pray all the time, that don't mean they got a lot of faith. Because people preach good, that don't mean they got faith. It's when the storm comes. That's when I need to get a view, get a bird's eye view, as they say, of how you are. Because for those who have a relationship, and that's really what faith is. See, I take my, everybody is born with belief. Let me hear you say belief. Everybody's born with belief. Things like that, hope, belief. Those are all things that you are born with. You couldn't even walk if you didn't believe you could. And your parents will try to encourage that in you. You know, when you was out there playing, when you was a little kid, you know, like your kids play sport. But I'm not talking about y'all, because your kids can really play. But you know those kids that can't play no basketball, they can't play no baseball, can't play no football. They can't play nothing, but they be out there. And you tell them, it's strike two now, you got to swing. You be trying to encourage them to believe. Can I get a witness? They can hit that ball. Well, faith is either in the right God or the wrong God. You hear what I'm saying? Your belief is either invested in the right God or the wrong God. So you can have faith in these pews. You can have faith in this building. You can have faith in the people who go to your church. But I'm telling you, that's all faith in the wrong place. That's putting your belief. No matter, people get frustrated with a church and leave it because people let them down. You shouldn't be surprised when people let you down. Why? Because that's what people do. They're not God. God won't let you down. You see, if he's sleeping, if you got a real relationship with him, y'all excuse me, but you go over there and you lie beside him. He resting so I can rest too. Because I know he don't miss nothing. He sees everything. He knows everything. And he's in the every place at the same time. So if he's sleeping and he's resting, I know the storm is out there, but guess what? We sing about it, don't we? Resting in the arms of Jesus. Leaning, safe and secure from all along. I ain't leaning on you. I'm not leaning on you, but I'm leaning on Jesus. All right. We almost at the end now. No, not we're going to drown. Not even Lord save us. But Lord, I'm going to sleep I'm going to lay down right beside you. And I'm going to rest. Because if you rest in, I know it's all right. Can I get a witness? You don't work on my time. He doesn't work on Kronos, but in due season. Last one. Oh, replied, ye of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. Little faith here is not meant to mean that your belief is what makes God moves. Because you can't make God do anything. Are you with me? You can't tell God to do anything. What it means is that if you just had this much relationship with me, then by now, in the relationship, you'd know I got your back. I got your back. And it may be your time to die. But you wouldn't be questioning if, in fact, I can tell waves to be still. Shoot, I tell whales. The whales don't even, shark, they don't question me when I tell them to jump into the boat. They jump into, you remember that time with Peter? Peter, he didn't catch nothing. You remember? And Peter was out there in the water and Jesus told him, put down your nets on the right side of the boat. And what did the fish do? Lord, I don't want to jump in the boat this time. Remember the last time with the last guy you told us, and my mom and daddy, they're eating up now. I don't want to get in there. No, they don't argue with him. They just get in the boat. The only people who argue with Jesus, the only people who argue with God is us. What I mean by that is, listen, as my mom would say, people, faith is when I trust and have confidence even this much. If I can muster up that much, it'll get me through. Because whatever he's going to do, it's going to be in my favor. Can I get a witness? Why did they get on the boat? They were following who? And following Jesus. That's why we don't follow anybody else but Jesus. Anybody else you can question. Don't ever think you can't question me for whatever reason you may think, or think you can't question some other. You have a right to. You have a right to. The only one we can't question is God. Can I get it with you? All right. Last one. Following Jesus will challenge my thinking. Following Jesus will challenge my comfort, my priorities, my faith. Who's God? One God, Jesus. But it also challenged my thinking. The men were amazed. In other words, their thinking had been challenged. And they asked, we've never seen it before. We've never heard of nothing like this before. What kind of man? You see, this is a human being just like us. But we've never seen anything by a man like this before. Never seen it. You see, in my mind, my thinking, my eyes, my ears, my smell, my taste, my feel, my senses have never been introduced to an individual like this before. Why is that? Because there's only one individual like this. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not just a man. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a king. He's not even just a spirit. He's God all by himself. Oh, that's why I still believe in miracles. Because God goes outside of my thinking, outside of my mind, outside of my senses. He's still working miracles in my life. I know I don't understand it. I know I can't make sense out of it. I know I can't tell you how he did it, but he's still working it out. Can I get a witness here? He's still. This is why I get so passionate about it. Because he's still. He's still making ways. I can't even find it in all of the academic books in the land. I can't even find it in any of the smartest people I've ever read about a Christian. I can't even tell you how he does. All I can do is just put my, I'm like Peter. I look up and there's all the fish in my boat. Anybody ever here woke up and your boat was full? And you said to yourself, Lord, it just challenges my thinking. Because you see, my thinking is not bad. But the Bible says what? Be not conformed. If you're following Jesus, be not conformed to the patterns of this world. That means the thinking of this world. And that doesn't mean all of the thinking is bad. But if you want to be at the level, not just the natural, but the supernatural, can I get a witness? If you want to be at the level of the impossible, then be ye transformed. Well, yes, be ye transformed by what? The renewing. Lord, take my stinking thinking. Lord, take the way I see things and throw it out. I want to think like you think. I want to be able to see the glory of God in ways that I've never seen it before. And then, Lord, give me the power to stand up and tell dying men and dying women about a risen Savior that is alive today. Can I get a witness? Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Oh, yes, you may feel like you're about dead. Even churches feel like they're about dead. But you see, I don't serve the dead. I serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. And I know that he is living in spite of what you say. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives. He walks with me and he talks with me. I'm challenged. But I'm not out. I'm challenged. I have to admit, I love comfort. But I'm working because I want to be a follower of Jesus. Challenged. But I'm going to do better because I believe in following Jesus is not only the best way, it's the only way. Can I get a witness? I don't want anything that won't lead me to the Father. His is the only. His is the only way. And if we can't get there through Jesus, then we're not going to get there. Can I get a witness? No turning back. Can we just sing a second of that? I know we're almost done. I have decided. How many of you decided? If you really decided, stand to your feet. To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Following Jesus would challenge my comfort. Following Jesus would challenge my priorities. Following Jesus would challenge my faith. I thought faith for a long time was something you did. No, faith is who God is. God is Jesus. Jesus is my faith. I believe in him. I got everything riding on him. Can I get a witness? Everything. Jesus challenged my thinking. How many of you rely on what you've learned in school? I know we got some smart people in here. I'm looking at you. You look so smart with your degree itself. Some of you, your nose don't ever come down. You know, yeah. You are. You're so smart. It's foolishness to those who don't believe. It's crazy. Hey, y'all, you got to be a little bit crazy to be a Christian. I mean, you got to be a little bit crazy. When they call you crazy, say, yeah. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was coming up, people used to love to fight, but you didn't fight nobody crazy. You know, when you saw somebody crazy, what did you say? Leave them alone. Why? Because they're crazy. You're crazy. Challenges going all the way. We ask our music ministers to come. We ask our counselors to come. I believe somebody today is going to accept Jesus that has not been baptized. If they're really going to take this thing of following Jesus seriously, I believe somebody today is going to step up to a new ministry. Because you see, he never stopped working. And even when you think he's asleep, he's not. I want to help. Anybody want to help Jesus? Yeah. I benefited so much. I just want to help. I'm tired of sitting back. Today's my day to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. You're my priority. The door's church room. Won't you come?